Well, once again, we want to mention that we are looking in for the Lord's Days on the series in Joshua. So I want to invite you to turn your Bibles, please, to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6 to continue in this series on entering our inheritance. Joshua chapter 6 is the portion, and we said that this is a portion of the Word of God that is definitely historical. There's no question about it. This is history. But it also has some very wonderful spiritual lessons for us as well. Practical spiritual lessons as well as doctrinal, no question about that. So Joshua chapter 6 and beginning of verse 1. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat. The people shall go up every man straight before him." And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, "Take up the ark of the covenant. Let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord." And he said to the people, "Proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord." We're now at verse 8. So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets. And the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the Ark, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout." So he had the Ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. Then 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the 2nd day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. And so they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city 7 times. And the 7th time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all that who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And as we always mention, God will bless the reading of his word and obedience to it as well. God says that he will always accomplish that which he pleases, and his word will definitely not come back void. Well, Joshua chapter 6 ranks right up there with some of the many stories of the Old Testament that people are very familiar with. Not even people just that sit in a church meeting, but people out in the world as well. They're familiar with the Battle of Jericho here. Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho, whatever that means, fitting the Battle of Jericho. And Samson and Delilah, and David and Goliath, and some of these great accounts. Even the world is familiar with it. But as we mentioned, this account here that we have in Joshua chapter 6 is very practical in terms of our own walk with the Lord. Now, I trust that everyone here in this room knows Christ as their Savior. Maybe you haven't trusted him yet. And if you haven't, I want to say to you, today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Just like the Ark of Noah when that door was open, everyone was invited to come in. There may not always be that time when the door will be open, but for those that were in Noah's day, that door was wide open. After they built the ark, the door was wide open for all to see and all to come through. Only one door, incidentally. And that opportunity was there. And so if you've not trusted Christ as your Savior, we want to really encourage you to put your faith and trust in Him today. When you do that, you understand more significantly some of the applications of the scriptures that we have before us. And Joshua here, Joshua chapter 6, is a very, very good practical portion of scripture to remind us of our walk with Christ. And we've been looking at this series of entering our inheritance, and we looked at the prerequisites of entering the inheritance, that inheritance that God had said to the nation of Israel, that if they just obey Him and follow Him, they'll come into the land that's flowing with milk and honey. He had promised that way back in Egypt. And so now the time had come. They went through that process of going through the Jordan River. We looked at that in chapter 3 and 4. They already had a preview of it in the previous chapter, chapter 2, what they could expect. Victory if they follow the Lord. And then, of course, in chapter 5, they were given some other prerequisites, some other areas that they should be aware of, that they had to read the Word, make sure that they were applying the Word of God to their lives, making sure they were in communion and contact with the living God. And Joshua had his encounter with the angel of the Lord there in Joshua chapter 5. So now the time had come that they're going to make this progress into this area of Canaan, where they're going to move forward. And it's a great historical account. We know that. This is actual history. These are not just fanciful stories. I had a Zoom meeting last night recording for testimonies. We have a testimony, by the way, on our website, knowtheword.com. You can look at it. And we recorded it right over here in the apartment. And it was an account of a person who was a bodybuilder. He's an elder now up in an assembly of Canada. He was once a bodybuilder. And he would often think that the Word of God was just the ramblings of drunken men, he said. That was his own testimony before he came to know Christ as Savior. Until someone talked to him about the Word of God and explained to him what it meant and say, why are you here? And for what purpose are you here? And that so spoke to his heart that he began thinking these things through. And through a marvelous way in which God worked, as God often does, He brought him around to understand the needs and the need he had in his life and the claims of Christ. And he trusted Christ as his Savior. You can view that in the next few days if you'd like to on our website. We call it Come and Hear. It's from a verse in Psalm 66, verse 16. Come and hear, and let me tell you, all you who fear the Lord, let me tell you what He's done for my soul. It's a great testimony. And when a person comes to that point in their life, then they are ready to move forward with the things of the Lord. Now, for the nation of Israel, God had led them out of Egypt, out of bondage, and into the wilderness en route to the promised land. Back in Numbers chapter 13, Numbers chapter 14. Is that me making a noise like that? I don't know. Numbers chapter 13 and 14. Do we have a bad battery here? I think we might, yeah. Numbers chapter 13 and 14, they had the opportunity to go into the land. It's a place called Kadesh Barnea. When they had that 2.5 years into the wilderness journey, they had that opportunity to go into this area. But they failed because of unbelief. But now, 38 years later, they have that opportunity to go in. And now they're going to actually do it. You know, when you think about it, for a lot of believers, we may have had that opportunity early on, and we thought, well, we messed up. We didn't go into a particular ministry or full-time ministry or be a missionary or whatever it might have been. And we feel like we might have really messed up, and so God has us on plan B. No such thing as plan B. God says to you, if you are ready to move forward in your faith, this could be the time for you. I remember, again, the account of Vance Havner, a great preacher, who was preaching at age 16. And God used him in a wonderful ministry for 70 years or so, 75 years. But when he was 76 years old, he said, you know, I should be doing more for the Lord. And so he used that verse in John chapter 7. These are the words. Let me just read them to you. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And God used that verse in Vance Havner's life to spur him on to even a greater walk with the Lord. after 70 years, 76 years of life. It's never too late to serve the Lord. As a matter of fact, for Joshua, Joshua chapter 13, verse 1, God said to Joshua, "You are old and stricken in years." I always like how that verse comes out. You're stricken in years. You know, like years came up and struck you. All right? He says, "But there's much more land to be possessed." And for all of us, no matter what age we are, there's always the opportunity to move forward in the Lord. That's what we have here in Joshua chapter 6. Well, as we mentioned, it is an historical account. There's no question about the history of this account. And we see that very clearly. This is what was told to Joshua. Joshua was told, okay, make sure that you move forward in the faith. Make sure you do all these things, the things that God wants you to do to move forward. So the Lord assured him of his presence. That's the first thing. Then secondly, he gave the assurance of his presence and his word. He says it right here in verse 2. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand." No question about it. He gave the word of assurance to the nation of Israel. He promised his presence with them, that would go with them. And then he laid out what they had to do. What was that? Make sure you follow the ark. All the things that God had said to the nation of Israel early on, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, all those things are being put together now at this point in Joshua chapter 6. You know, it reminds me of the fact that God is preparing you, perhaps, for an opportunity to serve him in a greater way. And all the messages that you've heard, the devotions you've had, the things that you've studied in Bible study, all those contribute toward times in which God can use these things in your life to move you forward in the faith. And maybe that time is now to move forward. It is for the nation of Israel. Great historical event that occurred here. And so he told them, make sure that the Ark of the Covenant is central. We looked at that, chapters 3 and 4. Make sure the Ark of the Covenant is in your focus. Make sure that, which represents the Lord, make sure he is first. Be obedient to the word of God. All these things that was told Joshua. So now the time has come for them to move forward. So it's an historical event that actually took place, part of the conquest of the land, as we see in the whole book of Joshua. And that conquest takes place from chapter 6 all the way to chapter 12. And then chapter 13 and on is when they divide the land up amongst the tribes. So great spiritual lessons that come out of this, but first the historical part of it. So this is actual history that took place. But now let's go into the spiritual lessons. What are the spiritual lessons that God has for us here? Well, the first thing I want to say is this, the opportunity. First thing, there's four things we're going to look at. There's the opportunity, and there's the obstacle, then there's the obedience, and then there's the outcome. Four things. The obstacle, the opportunity, the obstacle, the obedience, and then, of course, the outcome. First thing here is the opportunity. Now, turn with me for just a moment. Go back to Numbers chapter 13. Just look with me for a minute to Numbers chapter 13. And let's find our bearings there on that portion. And we'll come back to Joshua chapter 6 in a moment. But Numbers chapter 13. Look with me at verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men out to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them." So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all the men who were heads of the children of Israel. Chapter 13, just dropping down here to verse 16. These are the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land. Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. That's who we're reading about here today. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, "Go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds." Of course, you know the story. They came back with a very negative report. When they came back, they said the people who are in the city are strong. Look with me at verse 28. Same chapter, verse 28. "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan." In other words, at this opportunity when the children of Israel could have gone in and entered into the land, and that would have been the end of the story there, they failed because of unbelief. And because they did that, because they did fail, they wandered in the wilderness for another 38 years. You can find it in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 2. Tells us that they wandered for 38 years. So if anybody comes to you and says, how long did the children of Israel wander in the wilderness? Don't give the answer of 40 years. They wandered for 38 years. They walked, they trekked, they sojourned for 40 years. That's the right answer. And they could have gone in at an earlier time, but they didn't. But now God is giving another opportunity for the nation as a whole, these years later, to move forward in the faith. You know, one time I was in the local library and I was going through a section there on golfing. You know, I was taking up golf and trying to learn how to golf. And I saw a book written by Jack Nicklaus, the great golfer who won many, many championships. And I opened the flyleaf of the book and I read there that Jack Nicklaus, even after he had won so many championships, said, you know what? I had lost my edge. For some reason, I'd forgotten the basics. The things that made him great. And here he is already having trophies, having won trophies, and had them on his shelf, well known as a golf champion. And yet he said, you know what, I had to come back again. And I had to go over some of the basics. I had to go over some of these things to make my game much better. You know, when I look at that from a spiritual standpoint, you know, it's easy for us as believers to be passionate when we're early on in our Christian walk. We're disciplined in the study of God's Word. We're diligent in prayer. We're maybe very faithful in attendance at the meeting. And then over the course of time, some of those things have fallen by the wayside. And we can let things just get lax in our walk with Christ, our study of God's Word. Maybe that's the lesson we come away with right here. There was an opportunity before, then they wandered in the wilderness for those 38 years. And now God's moving them forward in the faith. And so, the opportunity is there. God gives the opportunity to His people to move forward at any point in their life. Just like Vance Havner at age 76, when he felt like he needed to move forward. And so the first thing that we see here is the opportunity. But of course, if there's an opportunity, there's always going to be an obstacle. You can count on that. In Zechariah chapter 3, there's a very interesting account there of Joshua the high priest. Now, it's a different Joshua than we see here. But Joshua the high priest, it says in Zechariah chapter 3, was standing before the angel of the Lord. And it says in that portion, in this vision that Zechariah had, that he saw Satan standing at his right hand to resist him, to oppose him, to keep him from moving forward. Joshua the high priest, again, it's a different Joshua. He wanted to move forward, but he had, as it says, Satan on his right hand, there to resist him. And then it says, the angel of the Lord says, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Aren't you seeing that this person is a branch plucked from the fire? You know, it's a great portion of Scripture, Zechariah chapter 3. It was Susanna Wesley who used that verse to instill in her son, John Wesley, a spiritual destiny. Because John Wesley, when he came to know Christ as Savior just by reading the book of Romans, his mother instilled in him this very clear principle. God has a purpose for you. That's why we don't tire of quoting that verse from Philippians chapter 3, that we, like Paul, might apprehend for that which we are apprehended of Christ. Why did God put His hand on you? Why are you saved? Why are you here? Is it just to go to a nice Sunday morning service and go your way and live life any way you want? Or is it to really honor and glorify the Lord? That's one thing we have to ask ourselves. And so, for the nation of Israel, that's what's going on here. God is taking them and moving them forward. New chapter in their experience as a nation. So, he says in verse 2, the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor. God is giving His word of assurance to them. If God said it, that's good. You know that bumper sticker, I've mentioned this before, that the bumper sticker you see, you learn a lot from bumper stickers, right? And the bumper sticker that's out there says, if God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, that's not the right order, is it? If God said it, I believe that's it. Then I believe it. If God said it, that settles it. That's the way it ought to be. And God is giving His word of assurance right here. Yes, there is an obstacle that stands in the way. It's called Jericho. And it's a stronghold, as we read in Numbers chapter 13. And another portion says this stronghold is fortified to heaven. It goes all the way up to heaven. It's closed tight. But for God to instill the lesson of obedience and dependence upon His people, He brought them to Jericho as the first thing so they would learn that lesson. When they came out of Egypt and they went through the wilderness, were going to go into the wilderness to go to the promised land, God brought them to the Red Sea, so they were forced to depend on the Lord. Some of my most precious memories I have is when I was a new believer. A brand new Christian. I trusted Christ when I was just 17 years of age. And I didn't have any money for school or anything like that. And I could keep you here all afternoon telling you the story of it. But the one thing I learned is that now as a believer in Christ, I have somebody working on my side, the Lord Himself, who is my guide, who's the one who can direct me, the one who gives me the assurance of His presence and His promises and His word. And I remember in a situation that I was in, no money at all, and I said, Lord, I need Your help. And see how the Lord opened up that Red Sea, just like He did with the children of Israel. The children of Israel now then learned at that point that God was on their side. If God be for us, who can be against us? Wonderful promises from God's word. And so that's what God is saying here. He's reminding them of His promise and His presence. And we all need to be reminded of that. The presence of the Lord. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The wonderful promises of God's presence and His power to work through us, in us, and through us. Isn't that just glib words? He is with us all the time. And so here is God saying to the children of Israel, I'm going to help you through this, and I have given Jericho into your hand, the king and his mighty men of valor. If they are going to conquer the land, if they are going to progress in their walk with the Lord as a nation, if you're going to progress in your walk with the Lord personally, Jericho has to go. That stronghold, whatever it might be, something blocking the way that would keep you from moving forward in your faith. What is it? That Jericho could be some root of bitterness, some resentment, some issue, some activity, something that's blocking the way that has become a stronghold that is blocking the entrance into a land that flows with milk and honey, where you can really apprehend that for which you've been apprehended of Christ, that which will keep you from experiencing perhaps the joy that you could be experiencing because something is blocking the way. That's the obstacle. Opportunity, obstacle. Well, what's going to cause Jericho to fall? It's the next thing that we see. Obedience to the word. And so God says, this is what I want you to do. Verse 3, you shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. So once each time around the city. And then on the seventh day, seven times around. We know this story. We're all familiar with this story. But what do we do to bring it down to our own experience? Key thing we learned in Joshua chapter 3 and Joshua chapter 4 is that the Ark of the Covenant reminds us of the person of Christ. It's an ark, reverently speaking. It's not very large. Small, actually, like a coffee table. And I speak reverently when I say that. But it's wood overlaid with gold inside and out. Beautiful picture of the deity of Christ, gold. Humanity of Christ, wood. And then the contents of the ark. There was the pot that had the manna. Speaks of the person of Christ and His earthly ministry. There's the Ten Commandments, speak of how Christ kept the Ten Commandments in every way, like no one else. Aaron's rod that budded, that staff that budded, blossomed and bore fruit. Picture of the risen Christ, the one who is dead but then came back to life again. Numbers chapter 17. All these wonderful pictures that we see of Christ in the Old Testament. And so this is the Ark of the Covenant, to obey and follow the Ark of the Covenant and make him foremost in any victory. So whatever we do, we should be like the psalmist who said in Psalm 115 in verse 11. Let me just find that verse. I can't find it right now. But anyway, it says this: "Not unto us, O Lord, but unto your name give glory." Always giving glory to the Lord. We heard that spoken about this morning in Psalm 91. Always saying, "Lord, whatever it is, I want you to be foremost." The whole episode here for the Joshua chapter 6 is for the children of Israel to be reminded once again that the Lord is in their midst and the Lord needs to be out front. And if you make that a regular discipline and a regular practice in your life to give God the glory, to acknowledge the Lord in everything, you can count on the fact that the walls are going to fall down flat, that gates are going to open of their own accord, that things are going to happen in the name of the Lord, because you would certainly give him the honor and the glory. Now, I'm not preaching a health, wealth, prosperity gospel here at all. I'm not doing that at all. But I'm looking at the Word of God and says he causes us to triumph because we follow him in obedience. We are the people of God. We move forward with his help and making sure that he gets all the honor and all the glory. And that's what Israel is being reminded right here. And so the Ark of the Covenant had to go in front of them. Now, I'll look at a passage like this, and I may ask some people, what do you think about this portion? We have a number of different Bible studies that we conduct in our ministry. And most of the people will say this: what did Israel do when they went through and defeated the inhabitants of the city of Jericho? And most people will say, nothing. They didn't do anything. I mean, just think about it. They didn't shoot any arrows. They didn't, have battering rams or anything like that. And they'll say, well, they didn't do anything. Well, what's the text say? They did do something. They did something according to what God has said. They circled around the city once each day. And then seven times around on the last day. That's doing something. And when the time came and the instruction was given, you shout. And when Joshua gave that command to shout, they shouted. So they did do something. They just didn't do it in conventional means or manner. And this is how the people of God move forward. You know, there was a great preacher in years past called Jonathan Goforth. Some of you might have heard that name. What a great name. Some of these preachers have great... I've heard preachers by the name of Evangelista. You know, that's a great preacher's name, right? And this one was Jonathan Goforth. And his phrase was, "I want to go forth on my knees." And that's how we ought to be as well. Committing everything to the Lord. Committing it to him and letting him lead us and guide us and direct us in all our activities. And so certainly that's what they were to do. Put the Lord first in everything. And that's what happens. When we do that, things begin to happen in a very special way. So we read here in verse 7. He said to the people, "Proceed, march around the city. Let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord." And so it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. The trumpets and the ark of the Lord, the shout, all these things reminded them of their responsibility in the Lord. We may ask ourselves the question, why hasn't the Lord used us in times past? There's a great verse in the Song of Solomon. It's found in the first chapter of the Song of Solomon. It says, "They have made me keepers of the vineyard, and my own vineyard I have not kept." You know, there's a way in which things can slide off our radar and we don't do the things that we should. And that's why we might not be advancing in the things of the Lord. It's different right here with the nation of Israel. Now they are following meticulously the word of the Lord, and they're moving ahead in strength. In Ephesians chapter 1, and in verses 18 through 21, Paul gives a prayer, or praise, I should say, for the, he didn't give a prayer, he prays for the Ephesians. This is what he said: "That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is Christ's inheritance in the saints, and that you might know what the glory of his inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Paul is praying that believers might understand what is the hope of their calling in Christ, and what is the riches, what are the riches of his grace, and the exceeding power that works in and through a believer that's committed to him. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we have another reminder for believers that we have to be clean vessels, fit for the master's use. When that happens, God works in and through our lives. Years ago when I was in school, I remember a fellow giving me and I was a brand new Christian. A fellow passed along to me a book that I had never seen before. I was a brand new Christian. He says, here, use this. This might be helpful to you. It was a Strong's Analytical Concordance. Now, that book was about this thick, and it was heavy, and it was before the digital age, right? So you can find these things online. And I said, what am I supposed to do with this book? He says, well, just look up any favorite verses you have. Just use the word, and the word will help you find some verse that it relates to. So I said, okay, I want to be strong in the Lord, so let me look up this word strong. Remember, the very first time I had this book in my hand. And it pointed me to a verse in Job chapter 17. And it says this, that the people who have strong hands, clean hands, and a pure heart will grow stronger and stronger. And I said to myself, that's a great verse to hang on to. You know, that verse has been a help and an encouragement to me all through the years as a Christian, all these some 35 years later. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, David said, Psalm 24. Who's not lifted up his soul in vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. And so we move forward in the strength of the Lord. For that to happen, Jericho has to fall. How is Jericho going to fall? With the Lord's help, with his strength, with the assurance of his word. And what will be the outcome of it? Well, you know the story again. We read through the story. What's the outcome? Well, people's lives are changed. Look at verse 17. The city shall be doomed, God says to the nation, by the Lord to destruction. And all who are in it, only Rahab the harlot shall live. Because of what she did way back in chapter 2 in hiding the spies, she asked for God to be kind, show goodness to her, and for those spies as well. And now when they came to Jericho, the walls had fallen down flat. You can go there today, nation of Israel, do an Israel trip, you'll see the remains of Jericho. The burnt, charred remains, they've dug down through the sediment there, and you can find the sections of it where it was burnt. Archaeologists say the walls fell down outward, which is amazing. When you think of it, you know, when you blow the trumpet, you think the force of the air blowing the trumpet is going to put the walls down from within, but they fell outward. And in some way, they fell flat so that the people could run up into the city. It was a miracle that way. Some people would come back and say, well, you know, it's because of an earthquake that happened. Well, if there was an earthquake that happened, the miracle is that it happened right at the time when the Israelites were right there. And so they raced up into the building, into the city, and took all those things. But Rahab's house was protected. Isn't that interesting? God had his hand on this person, Rahab, and her family. Here's a great picture of grace and mercy right in the midst of judgment. Some people have a problem with this whole portion, the Israelites coming in there and defeating the inhabitants of Jericho and exterminating the Canaanites. There's a lot of people who have a real hard time with that. But God was bringing judgment upon those people because of the wickedness that characterized the nation. And so there is an outcome here. The outcome is glory to the Lord. Look what we read at the very end of the chapter. Verse 26. Joshua charged them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds the city Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with its firstborn, and his youngest he shall set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. God exalted Joshua because of his obedience. God exalted the nation of Israel because of their obedience, because of their victory over Jericho. We're looking at the concept of entering our inheritance. And we're seeing the spiritual principles and concepts that are there built into the portions of God's Word where we can apply these things practically in our lives. Jericho represents that stronghold that had gone all the way up into heaven, it says, that fell because of obedience to the Word of God. You know, for years I've worked in a drug and alcohol rehabilitation center. Guys who were rich because of their career lost it all, gambling in Atlantic City, gambling in various places, or whatever it was, drank their money away. And that was a stronghold in their lives. This one fellow I remember interviewing one time, he was a rock star that traveled all throughout Europe, famous rock star. Lost it all. And there he was at a place where I worked. And I was interviewing him for an article that we were doing in our newsletter. His name was Bill. And I said, "Bill, how did you come to know Christ as your Savior?" He said, "Well, you know what? I was famous. I was jetting around. I was doing all these rock concerts all around Europe. But I was empty inside. Even though I had these riches, I was empty in my own heart. It came to the States. And at the time, there was a Billy Graham film that was being shown in the local theaters. And we used to have a problem with seeing these, you know, using a theater for an evangelistic film. But anyway, it was shown in there. And this fellow, Bill, decided to go in and watch this film called The Prodigal." It was a Billy Graham film of someone who was well-known, who was down and out. This just paralleled Bill's life perfectly. He said, "I went to the usher after the film, which really spoke to my heart. He says, 'Where can I find information? Who can I talk to?' And the usher didn't know. He wasn't even a believer. So he says, 'You know, I think there's some literature over there.' He pointed to it. So Bill went over and got that literature. And he read it. How to become a Christian. How to trust Christ as your Savior. He trusted Christ as a Savior. Was marvelously saved. Even though there was this stronghold in his life of everything that went along with the rock life. You know, the drugs and the money and the fame and fortune that he was addicted to. It was a stronghold. But that came down instantly when he trusted Christ as Savior." What a wonderful testimony he had, telling people that they can be free from the bondage of sin through faith in Christ. And that's exactly what happened with Bill. That Jericho came tumbling down. And that type of story is repeated over and over again in untold thousands of people who have trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. That Jericho fell down because they obeyed what the Lord had them to do. For a believer, it's the same thing. Following the Lord, making Him foremost in your life, making sure that you stand upon His Word, the assurances of His Word, His presence is there always with you. When we do those things in obedience to Him, the walls of Jericho will fall down. And maybe there's someone in this room today who knows the Lord as their Savior, but there's a Jericho blocking the entrance into a land of blessing, the spiritual land of blessing. If that's the case, turn to the Lord, trust Him, follow Him, and He will help you, give you the joy and peace that you so desperately want. And so here is the example of Jericho, the progress that we make when we ask the Lord for His help and follow Him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask that You would bring to heart, call our attention, the attention to our own hearts, Lord, each one of us in this room today, anyone within the sound of this message even, that needs to hear the spiritual principle of following the Lord Jesus as Savior. And Father, for those that need to follow Him as Lord, making sure that they're obedient, making Christ the focus in all that they do, giving Him the honor and the glory. Thank You for this portion in Your Word, Father, that helps us to understand what we need to do to enter into the inheritance that You provided for us. And so, Father, we thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank you for this day. We pray you take us to our homes in safety. Help us, Lord, to keep in mind the principles that we see from your precious word. Reminds us of your great love for us. We give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.